with Sue Dugan.
Next update with Joe, around about 8:30 tonight. So, the main bit of CQA is always where we chat to a guest who joins us, attempting to answer the questions that you've been throwing our way in recent times on the show, whether it's about BT phone boxes or what the Queen's got in her handbag or whether football players get a brand new kit issued at the beginning of each match. Whatever the question is, we've tackled them all in the past, so keep them coming in, either on the email or on the phones tonight. And each night we get a main guest to actually answer the bulk of the questions that you've been asking on a given topic. Tonight we go back to crop circles. Now, a few weeks ago we were talking to Lionel Fansdorp about this, and he talks about it in a very metaphysical sense and about the possibility of UFOs causing them and that kind of thing. But we're approaching it from a slightly different viewpoint tonight by welcoming our guest who joins us all the way from Colorado tonight. His name is Dr. Simeon Hine. He's on the phone right now. Hi, Dr. Hine.
Hi there. Good evening. How are you tonight?
Yeah, not bad at all. It's just coming up on, 1:20 your time?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you're a PhD in sociology, and you work with the University of Chicago. I do beg your pardon.
I publish with the University of Chicago. I actually run my own nonprofit institute here in Colorado.
Oh, we're talking to you at Colorado tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, as you and I get into this subject of crop circles tonight, are you trying to rationalize it in a sort of scientific way?
I wouldn't say I'm trying to rationalize it. You know, I've been studying the subject since 1996, and I think what I've learned is the subject is much bigger and much more important than any of us ever suspected. We want to understand it scientifically, but what we're realizing is that crop circles are really at the edge of future science. They really can't be explained with conventional science, according to what I've experienced in them and other people.
So you've had an interest in it from 1996.
That's right. I visited them in your country 5 times since 1997. And
have you seen this summer's excellent example?
I have seen them only on the internet. I wasn't able to get over there this summer, unfortunately.
You missed some great sights, I'll tell you that. So 1996 is where your interest starts.
That's right.
Can we kind of put a date on where this phenomenon really did start?
It really seems to go back thousands of years. You know, there's a wonderful book by Terry Wilson called The Secret History of Crop Circles, and he documents several hundred crop circles that predate the modern era. I'm thinking before 1970s. These really seem to go back to ancient China. There are mentions of crop circles in the Dead Sea Scrolls, strange markings in the fields associated with lights. And even in your country, in the Middle Ages, there was references to the Mowing Devil. And the Mowing Devil, yes, there were apparently strange things that appear to be like crop circles appearing behind a village at night, and they attributed to a devil with a scythe, which they called the Mowing Devil. And, you know, there are a lot of eyewitness accounts to circles forming very quickly, 30 seconds or less. The researcher Colin Andrews has spoken to many of these witnesses, and there are people that have seen these simple circles or groups of circles form and very quickly. It seems to be due to a meteorological phenomena or sometimes, in fact, UFO propulsion systems seem to leave swirls in the grasses. They've been called saucer nests in the past, and there are witnesses in Russia and in the United States. And in your own country, I heard David Kingston talking about this at the Glastonbury Crop Circle Symposium several years ago. He actually witnessed UFOs over an area called Clay Hill, and in the morning they found swirls in the grass.
So why, since 1970 then, have we all become a bit more aware of them?
It seems that around the middle 1970s, humans started getting involved in making circles. There were the folks that you may know of, Doug and Dave, who came forward and had been making circles in southern England. And since Doug and Dave, we've had more and more human circle makers coming on board with their own interests, trying to understand the phenomena themselves, seeing if they can go out and make circles. And every year it seems that they get better and better at it and make more and more complex designs. And I think for the most part, that's what you're seeing in England are human-made circles made by human beings like you and me.
For the most part, these incredibly intricate designs, is it the theory that they contain a code of some description or perhaps that they represent something mathematical? Can anybody kind of read that into them?
You know, crop circles really do contain very interesting information, and I think even the human circle makers don't understand exactly why they're circles create the effects they do or contain information. But I think that crop circles really are like gateways to other types of frequencies, other types of dimensions. I'm talking scientifically here. There's a whole area of science called subtle energy sciences, and Dr. William Tiller from Stanford University here in California has pioneered this area of subtle energy science. It's how human thought can affect physical reality. I think we're seeing something like that with crop circles. We have human circle makers, we have researchers and people that come just to walk around in them and enjoy them. I think the effect of all those people working in a living grain, a living material, creates a new form of communication where information comes through that we don't really understand where it comes from, but often you do find patterns of information in crop formations and a lot of other paranormal effects that I've witnessed myself that cannot be explained by conventional science.
So you're prepared to kind of look beyond what rational thought tells you then?
I think we really need to go beyond what I would say conventional thought tells us. We do have a lot of evidence from experiments with subtle energy sciences that shows that human beings meditating on a space can condition that space. I mean, Dr. Tiller calls it a conditioned space. And some of these human circle makers and researchers call them temporary sacred spaces or temporary temples, as one researcher refers to it. I really do think that what is going on in crop circles cannot be explained by conventional physics, but I've been there. I've seen the batteries fail. I've seen the cameras fail. I even believe one of your TV crews once had their cameras fail near Silbury Hill in a crop formation in the mid-90s. I mean, this has been documented, and there are all of the balls of light that have been videotaped and seen in and around the crop formations. I'm talking about man-made formations. And so I really think that we have to get beyond the debate of whether it's real formation or if it's a hoax. I don't think the man-made formations are hoaxes. I think they're real because anything to me that can destroy my batteries in 10 seconds is real. So we need to go beyond the conventional debate.
So people have witnessed them in the process of construction, if you like.
People have seen the simple circles form in a very short amount of time, and that seems to be due to some sort of meteorological phenomena, sort of a small tornado or perhaps an electrical discharge from the upper atmosphere. Those are generally simple circles or collections of circles. The more complex patterns that we're familiar with in recent years, the artistic-looking ones, the symmetrical patterns, the stylized patterns, those seem to me almost entirely created by humans. But those humans are not doing it to make a hoax. They're very serious about the circle-making process. I've been out with circle makers at night and seen them create prayers and incantations before they make their circles. And I think that they're investing these spaces with a certain positive intent. And I think that people do have very positive transcendent healing experiences in these circles. One of the circle makers, Matthew Williams, refers to it as natural magic. And I think he's correct. Magic is simply science that we don't understand yet. You know, a lot of the technology we have nowadays would have been thought of as magic 100 or 200 years ago. You know, we would have burned people at the stake a couple hundred years ago for doing the things that we do every day nowadays. But we don't understand it totally yet, yeah.
So you talked about sort of incantations and stuff there, and like a sort of ritual before the...
Yes, a ritual.
Mm-hmm. So is there, would you say there's some sort of perhaps religious significance in them, or artistic significance at all?
I think there's a spiritual significance. I wouldn't necessarily religious, because I think if we say it's religious, it's connected with a specific religion. But I think there are spiritual experiences that are that the human circle makers experience while they're creating the circles. I think there are spiritual experiences I've certainly seen among people walking around in the circles the next day, and I've had experiences there myself which really make you feel like you're connecting to an unseen world. It's not inconsistent with what quantum mechanics talks about, this kind of invisible reality of energy information. It's more like a field than consisting of solid objects, a field of energy and information. I believe that these crop circles, because of the shape, it's very consistent with the science of cymatics, pioneered by the Swiss scientist Hans Jenny. But basically what he said is that shapes create a vibration, a frequency. And I think that crop circles, because they're made so precisely often and so well, they create a resonance and a vibration which, much like a radio does, it receives other types of frequencies that we don't normally experience, but they're real.
Okay. Do crop circles occur, I don't know, in any other medium, like in snow, something like that? I mean, would you get sort of, I don't know, an Alaskan circle, something like that, in the snow, in the tundra?
Yeah, you apparently find circles in all types of materials. It's not just grain crops like you have in England and the United States. There have been snow circles found. There are circles found in rice paddies in Japan and in trees and in grass. all types of materials, living and otherwise, do seem to receive these circular patterns. But I think the causes are different than the more complex patterns that we're familiar with in the wheelchair area. But all of these circles potentially have the ability to create communications with other types of frequencies, other types of dimensions. So I see them all as being equally real. I don't see the non-man-made ones being more real than the man-made ones. They're all real as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so they're all the one thing as far as you're concerned. Are they like crop circle hot spots anywhere in the UK or overseas?
Well, you know, your country really seems to contain the most brilliant and inspired crop circle artists, the human artists, and I think that's the reason partly, in part, why in England you have some of the most complicated designs, but they do seem to happen all over the planet. We've had several in the United States this summer. The patterns seem to be more complex than they were in the previous summers, and you do get them all over the world. It just seems that the media is focused on England, and they happen in an area which is a little more smaller area than, you know, the United States is such a huge country, you can't see all of them at once. Generally, in England, they happen mostly between Stonehenge and Avebury, the wheelchair area, and so it's easy to see more of them in a short amount of time. But they do appear all over the world. I mean, Colin Andrews, I think, has documented crop circles from many countries around the planet.
Those poor farmers in that particular sort of part of southwest England are always sort of suffering then.
Well, you know, some of them they do charge an admission fee sometimes, and they can make quite a good income from the crop circle tourism. I mean, some of them have made 10,000-20,000 pounds in the summer from those circles. So not all of them are. So I think the damage has been a little overestimated. But I think there are a lot of benefits to these crop formations. I mean, I think scientifically it's very important that we understand what's going on here, for among other reasons.
For those crop circles that no human has claimed responsibility for,
mm-hmm.
has anyone kind of done a scientific analysis of whether or not, say, the wheat in that circle has changed composition, or whether there's any deposits or anything like that?
You know, those really have been found. Dr. William Levengood from Michigan in the United States has found a number of biological changes to the wheat stalks. There is some pitting in the cell walls, and the nodes in the wheat plant seem to be enlarged. And there are other changes, it appears, to the soil and to the genetic material in the plants. I think, though, some of this information has been misinterpreted to conclude that it's being caused by an energy force field from the sky. I think that the crop circle itself can cause effects on physical reality. As I mentioned before, I've seen a single crop circle either drain or completely deplete the batteries in four separate devices in under 5 minutes. And the people at Mallory Battery Factory in Connecticut, in the United States, can't explain how that happens. So these crop circles really do create effects, even after they're formed, on the wheat, on the plant material, on batteries, on equipment, on people. So I think that the shape itself creates a resonance pattern that has physical effects on things that we can see directly. It's not so much that the cause is causing that, the cause of the crop circle. It's the effect of the crop circle that does that, and the man-made ones do that as well.
Is it purely the wheat or whatever the crop is just being bent over and being laid flat on the ground, or are there ever occasions where, like, it's, like, platted or, you know, matted or anything like that?
You know, some of the effects probably are due to the fact that the wheat is now lying at an angle to the sun that it normally doesn't lie at. I mean, it's now in a horizontal position, and the sun hits on it directly. But I see it more in terms of the physics of crystals. I think that you have all these individual stalks, and I actually got this idea originally from Colin Andrews, but I think it's accurate. All those stalks are normally standing up, and they're not touching each other directly. But when they're all on the ground, pointed in the same direction in a swirl in a very coherent pattern or shape, I think that they begin to operate like crystals, this idea called the piezoelectric effect, which explains why your watch, electric watch, keeps up such accurate time, and why crystals in a flat screen display for your computer, you know, create those colors. When you have a coherent pattern or shape in an electrical field, you can generate new types of electricity and energy that are not normally present in that location. And I think that that is part of the reason why the crop circles create the energy patterns they do. We've measured it, actually, with an electrostatic device. And at first we thought that the ones that we were measuring a high static charge in were the the real ones, and this is several years ago, and that the ones that were statically flat were the man-made ones, until we met Matthew Williams, and he created a circle for us in the daytime, you know, with the farmer was present, and we saw the meter was jumping around. So that idea that we had this litmus test between the so-called real ones and the man-made ones, we saw that wasn't true. Even the man-made ones were creating a change in the electrostatic contour fields right there at that location. So what we're learning is that there's just a lot of effects of having that circle there. Just the shape itself changes the distribution of energy in the field. And we know from subtle energy sciences that even, it's much like homeopathy, even a very small cause can have a large effect. And so that's what we're finding.
Okay, I understand that. All these questions, incidentally, tonight have come into the program over the last...
Sure.
The last month and a half, and we always invite calls on the evening itself, and we've just had one, which is the last question I'll ask you tonight. Mm-hmm. Jackie in Milton Keynes tonight asking, is Stonehenge anything to do with crop circles? Can they be related in any way at all?
Very interesting question. You know, a lot of them do appear near Stonehenge, and it's quite possible that the people several hundred years ago or several thousand years ago were creating these circular stone patterns after seeing spontaneous crop circles, the original phenomena, show up nearby. So perhaps a lot of the stone circles that we find at Avebury and Stonehenge are actually a response to the original phenomena. And I'd just like to mention that for the listeners that want to find more about this, I was just informed there's going to be a talk at the Saul's Arms on Hempstead Road in London at 3 p.m. by Matthew Williams, and he actually just created a new video called Circle Makers that shows the human circle maker's perspective on this. I think your listeners will find this very interesting if they attend this.
Where is this again, in London?
It's at the Saul's Arm at 6568 Hempstead Road on Saturday in London at 3 p.m. And I've seen Matt Williams' presentations. They're very informative. I think they're very accurate, coming from someone that didn't think humans could do this a couple of years ago. But I think Matt gives a very excellent PowerPoint presentation. He has a wonderful new video, which I just started looking at yesterday, which has a lot of human circle makers explaining exactly why they've been doing this all these years and their own paranormal experiences in the circles. And I think your listeners that are interested in this topic will find it very interesting to attend his lecture.
Hey, we might catch up with Mr. Williams at some point. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
Allowing us to put all those questions.
I've enjoyed it.
I've got a reference here to a website. Is this your particular website here? Oh, hang on, give me 2 seconds.
Sure.
What I'm talking about. We've got a couple of various websites that have been suggested to us. Cropcircles.org.
Cropcircles.org, yes, your listeners can go there and find out. That's run by one of my colleagues from Midwest Research, Ron Russell, cropcircles.org, and they can also go to my website, openingminds.info, which has information about a book I've recently written about the topic called Opening Minds.
Opening Minds. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that seems to be very much how we should subtitle our chat with you tonight.
Yes.
Join us all the way from the States tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Simeon Hines tonight, our CQA guest, on the program. It's 25 minutes to 9 now. Let's get an update.